5 years ago this week, President Clinton signed the welfare reform law. Since then, millions of welfare recipients have gone to work. With much of the focus on jobs, however, there's been little attention paid to the law's other major goal, promoting stable two-parent families. Most states haven't really dealt with the issue, and many aren't even sure how to go about it. NPR's Emily Harris examines whether government policy can or should encourage couples to marry.
Annette Burns hated applying for welfare after a car accident left her husband, Michael, too injured to work. She felt like the people in the welfare office near her home in southern West Virginia looked down on her. But while she was filling out the forms, Burns got a big surprise.
They asked me for a copy of our marriage license, and I asked them what for, and they said that it would give us extra money.
$100 a month added to the check for no reason, except Annette and Michael are married. As her two girls race from room to room in their tidy single-story home, Annette Burns watches, tired and amused. Up the Madison Creek Hollow, where the family lives, a summer evening is fading to dark. Husband Michael, who has applied for disability payments, lies in a back room, in bed and in pain. Annette Burns says West Virginia's marriage incentive helps her buy shoes and coats for her daughters, Shanna and Jennifer, ages 5 and 3. Her single friends are jealous.
A lot of the girls and stuff, they'll say, well, how much do y'all get in welfare? And I'm like, well, $612 check. And they're like, what? And I said, well, we get $100 because we're married. And they said, wow, that's something. You get $100 because you're married. Maybe I ought to make my old man marry me, you know.
Strengthening two-parent families was a major aim of Congress 5 years ago. West Virginia is one of the few states to try and the only state to offer welfare recipients cash money for walking down the aisle. But state officials say they have no evidence the $100 bonus is sending couples to the altar. John Law is communications director for West Virginia's Health and Human Services Department. He says the marriage payment shouldn't be considered in isolation.
There are all kinds of things we have done to promote the family and promote people getting back to work. You know, we have transportation for people. We have child care for people. The marriage incentive is really a way to keep this family together, to keep it whole, so that these folks can get back to work.
Others see promoting marriage itself, good marriages certainly, as important public policy. It's something few politicians can afford to be against. But the degree to which the government should be involved is a tricky political issue. In the debates 5 years ago, Congress cited findings showing children born to married couples and who live with both parents are generally healthier and happier than kids growing up with one parent. Robert Rector is a fellow at the Conservative Heritage Foundation.
A child born inside marriage is about 7 times less likely to live inside poverty, some 17 times less likely to become dependent on welfare. Marriage, when you look through the literature and the research, is almost like a universal social antibiotic. Any social problem that you can look at is severely reduced when you have a successful marriage in place.
But some women's advocates and liberal policymakers say promoting marriage isn't the appropriate answer to social problems. Many worry women will be trapped in abusive relationships. Attorney Jackie Payne is with the Now Legal Defense Fund.
Children do better when they have supervision and love in a safe environment, right? Our systems are currently set up that the easiest way to accomplish that is to have two parents in a household.
But she says it's not the only way. Two parents usually means more money, plus backup on key needs like childcare. Payne believes kids in single-parent families could get the same advantages if there were cheap, universal childcare and women earned as much as men.
There are other ways to accomplish making children in any family succeed, rather than saying the best way to make children succeed is to make sure they're in a married family.
The family formation goals of welfare reform don't just apply to families on welfare. For example, Congress gives extra money, $20 million a year, to the 5 states that show the biggest overall drop in out-of-wedlock births, if there's no increase in abortions. And several states are using welfare dollars to encourage marriage and discourage divorce in all sectors of society. Oklahoma is funding research, premarital counseling, and low or no-cost classes on relationship skills. Oklahoma's Secretary for Health and Human Services, Jerry Rieger, says the $10 million budgeted for marriage is money well spent.
If we cut our divorce rate in half, And if we were able to maintain stable two-parent families, many of the issues that government now takes care of, i.e. higher and higher delinquency rates, dropouts from education, teen pregnancy, we wouldn't solve all of them, but we'd make a big impact on them.
Since 1996, many states have tweaked their eligibility requirements to make it easier for two-parent families to receive welfare checks or social services. A few changed the rules to discourage living with a boyfriend, and nearly half the states won't increase an unmarried mother's check if she has another baby. Most states are also trying to get dads more involved.
What's your name?
Shadonna Stevenson.
Can you spell that for me?
S-H-A.
On a scorching day in Washington, D.C., James Sheffield is knocking on doors in a public housing complex. He works for the Institute for Responsible Fatherhood, a self-described spiritually based group partially funded with federal welfare to work money. Sheffield stops single mom and welfare recipient Shadonda Stevenson in the parking lot. He gets her to take a quick recruitment survey.
What do you think makes a good father-child relationship? A, financial support. B, time together. C, father teaching child life skills. D, talking together on a regular basis. E, playing together on a regular basis. Or F, other.
Where's G? All of the above.
Sheffield writes that down and asks a few more questions. Then he begins to pitch his organization's services. He doesn't get too far.
Our mission is to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children's hearts to their fathers.
But in my opinion is, how can you do that? My son is 5 years old, haven't had no interaction with his father. How can you make up for 5 years of a child's life of you not being in his life? There is no way to make up for that 5 years.
Stevenson doubts this man can succeed where even the courts have not. But Sheffield, who was in jail when his own son was born, presses on.
We have had success in those areas because I am one of those fathers. And I was reunited.
You had some actually downright out deadbeat dads?
Yes, we have.
And you changed them?
Yes.
You want me to give you his address?
Sheffield does. He'll use it to badger and try to tempt the father into building a relationship with his son and the boy's mother. There is little concrete understanding of the best policy methods to encourage two-parent families, but there is some evidence society is beginning to move toward the social goals included in the welfare bill. Births to unmarried mothers have leveled off nationwide. Child support collections are rising, and some early studies show more poor children are living in homes with two adults. But there's no clear connection between these trends and welfare changes. Influencing family formation is a complicated question. Take the example of Carlos Estrada and Candy Harris. They live with six kids, five theirs, one hers with another man, in a run-down Baltimore neighborhood. It's the kind of place where everybody knows what everybody else is up to.
Whoa, watch yourself. Give me your hand. Give daddy your hand.
Oh, these are all...
Estrada and Harris met at a corner store more than a decade ago. She was 16, he almost 20. Soon after, they had a baby. She's been on welfare ever since. Their relationship's been off and on as he was in and out of the drug scene. Twice the couple came close to getting married, but Harris says they stopped short both times.
We was gonna do it, but he listened to what his friends said instead of going with his own heart, doing what he wanted to do. And so we just called it off, you know.
Carlos Estrada says it's more than that.
Marriage is a big commitment. That's just something you don't wake up and say, I want to get married. You know, you got to really know what you want, you know. And we might be divorced by now because I was a bad boy.
Despite their past, Harris and Estrada feel they're partners in raising their kids at this point. They don't want or need to get married now. Could a government program make them think differently? Maybe. They say counseling doesn't hurt, and cash incentives could be an influence. But as Candy Harris puts it, marriage is supposed to come from the heart. Whether it can also come from the government is increasingly the subject of debate and experimentation. Emily Harris, NPR News.